Zechariah 7:12, yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. So for a couple minutes this evening, I want to talk about making our hearts like flint. We're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 7. As I mentioned this morning, we had looked at an Old Testament chapter in Micah. This evening, it's going to be Zechariah 7. So let's look here at the text in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priest, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets, when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowland were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. And verses 8 through 10 here basically are summarizing what the people were to do, what the other prophets had said. Verse 11, but they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. In verse 11 of Zechariah 7, it says, they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder, the King James Version. New King James Version, they refused to heed and shrugged their shoulders. This phrase, they pulled away their shoulder, this expression has come down to modern times in the description of someone that's unwilling to hear. And you can take it either way. You tell somebody and they just shrug their shoulders like, well, I don't care. It's also given to the term to give a cold shoulder to somebody. They don't listen to someone. They don't listen to what they're proposing. Perhaps the metaphor is found upon the rebellion of a beast against a yoke, when the oxen would have a yoke on it and didn't want it, and it would pull its shoulder. In any of these, we see that the person is not willing to comply with what is being said, what they are being told to do. So they made their hearts like flint. They hardened their hearts. Many times when we think of someone in the Bible that hardened their heart, we think of Pharaoh. And we see in Exodus, Pharaoh's heart grew hard. He did not heed them as the Lord had said. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. So when somebody's heart is hardened, how does that happen? Is when God hardened Pharaoh's heart, was this something that was miraculous? It wasn't miraculous. We see in all of these instances, a person's heart is hardened when they refuse to listen to what God says. Their heart is hardened when they refuse to listen and obey. Then Pharaoh sent indeed. Not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. when Moses told him to let God's people go, and he didn't listen, Pharaoh didn't listen, that made his heart hard. So the heart of Pharaoh is hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Another example in Job 41:24, his heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. So we want to have a soft heart. We want to have a tender heart. We want to find people that have tender hearts. When they have a hard heart, we can't take that personally, because they are refusing what God has said. Back to Zechariah, and again to review. So Zechariah was one of the prophets that came after the exile. He was one of the southern prophets down at Judah. When we look at the Old Testament and we observe the placement of Zechariah and the chronological listing of the books of prophecy, it's the same as we find in the Bible. He was the next to the last prophet of the Old Testament. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. When we get to Malachi, after Malachi prophesied, there is a period of 400 years where we do not have any revelation. A period of silence, 400 years before Christ comes on to the scene. When we look at the return from captivity, the first period, we see that Haggai and Zechariah were prophets. This lasted for about 20 years. We see that Ezra gives an account of both periods, the first period and the second. Nehemiah tells of the second period, and Esther comes in between these two periods. Zechariah began his ministry 18 years after the people began to return from captivity. And as soon as they came up and out of captivity, they set up an altar for sacrifice, and within a year laid the foundations of the temple. We learn that from Ezra 3:10. They were served with a prohibition from the Persian court and charged not to go on with it. They were told, stop this. The Persians forced them to stop with violence until the Jews offered no opposition. They had no spirit to set about it again, but let it stand incomplete. As soon as they came up out of captivity, I had that slide there, a duplicate. After the foundation sat for 15 years, Haggai urged the Jews to again undertake the work of rebuilding the temple, despite the threatening objections. 4 months later, he was joined by Zechariah. In 4 years, the temple was completed. When we look at the book of Zechariah, it has two main points: the return of the Jews from Babylon and the coming of Christ. Now, the temple at Jerusalem was in the process of being rebuilt when the question was asked, "Shall I weep and separate myself as I have done these so many years?" In verse 3, and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, "Should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years?" Here we have the Lord's answer, which is a charge against them of a mere formal worship. God is charging them with formal worship. So what does that mean? Sometimes we think of formal worship as, well, that's where people dress up and they put on suits and ties and they're real formal. You might look at it that way, but this formal worship centers around trusting the form. And we see that today, formal worship. People go through the form. We say they go through the motions. They go through the motions, but their heart is not in it. And then he mentions different things where they were following the form, but it was not from the heart. There is hypocritical fasting. the Lord asked, when ye fasted and mourned, did ye at all fast unto me? You see, they were doing the fasting like they were supposed to, but they were being like the Pharisees that would disfigure their face and make it look like they'd been fasting for a long time. They were doing it for a show. When they fasted, it was not that they might get closer into fellowship with God, but like the hypocrites in our Lord's time, that they might appear unto men to fast. They were just going through the form. You see, people do that today. They come to church services, they go. They come, they go. Their heart is not in it. Their hearts are like flint because they do not obey God as God wants them to. There is selfishness in eating and drinking. Verse 6, ye eat and drink for yourselves. How little do we think that in our ordinary, everyday eating and drinking, we should do all to the glory of God. You see, whatever they were doing, they were not giving God the honor and glory, thanking him for his mercies to strengthen them. And we need to thank God for his mercy on us to strengthen us to do the work. Even at the Lord's table, we may eat and drink judgment on our own soul by not discerning his body. 1 Corinthians 11:29. Our worthiness for this is not in moral goodness, but in our spiritual discernment. So if we've been in the church any period of time, we have seen people with this formal observance of the Lord's Supper. They'll come. They think the Lord's Supper is the only thing they've got to do on Sunday. They'll come. They might come late. They'll take the Lord's Supper, and they'll leave. I took the Lord's Supper. See, they aren't doing it from the heart. They're just going through a form, through a form. They neglect the word of the Lord. Verse 7, should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried? The formalist allows no special value for the word of the Lord, but is very critical about outward acts and ceremonies. He may carry a Bible, but they seldom open it and read it, or offer up their own desires unto God. Such have need to pray the old prayer, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Friends, we've got to think of eternity in everything we do. We don't just go through the form. Again, people carry a Bible. They might wear certain clothing with words on it, or wear a cross or something. It's just a form. It's just a form. Their heart is not in what God says to do. Well, because they are just going through a form, when they pray, their prayers are empty. These prayers are powerless, and God will not listen to them. In verse 13, therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. Because they came from dishonest and hard hearts. In verse 12, note some of the causes of failure is recorded here. There is a failure. There is a lack of mercy and compassion. And we looked at that this morning with Micah. Who is a God like our God, a God that is full of compassion, that will pardon our iniquities? Yet God's people lacked mercy and compassion. Show mercy and compassion to every man his brother, verse 9. Our attitude toward our fellow man has much to do with helping or hindering our prayers. What we do to help or what we don't do to help somebody affects if our prayers are answered. We can say a prayer, but are we just going through the form of it? We pray for this and that. Or is our life consistent with God's word and what he wants us to do? Matthew 5:24, first be reconciled to thy brother, then offer thy gifts. You might hear somebody come and lead a very beautiful prayer, but you know, they won't even speak to some other brother over here. That they're just going through a form. We incur God's displeasure if we from the heart forgive not everyone his brother, Matthew 18:35. And he that loveth God must love his brother also, 1 John 4:21. Well, they oppressed the helpless, verse 10. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. To take advantage of those because of their helplessness is a blatant insult to God who delights in mercy. That man's religion is vain. You see, when we oppress the helpless, when we don't help them, we're hardening our heart. Whenever we don't do something God tells us to do and do it from the heart, we are hardening our heart. There is evil thinking. In verse 10, imagining evil against one another in your heart. Thoughts are naked before God. God knows everything we're thinking. Evil thoughts against our brother will poison our prayers. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the pure in heart shall see God. It's not enough just to do something. We've got to do it from the heart. We can't just have a form or show of religion. They refused to hearken to the words which the Lord had sent. Verses 12 and 13. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed it, they would not hear. So they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. They got what they deserved. They wouldn't listen to what God said. So when they cried out to God, God said, I'm not going to listen to you. You didn't listen to me. I'm not going to listen to you. So when we look at this, we see this formal worship, this just worshiping a form. There's hypocritical fasting, selfishness in eating and drinking, neglect of the word of the Lord. Their prayers had no power. There is a lack of mercy and compassion. They oppress the helpless. There is evil thinking. They refuse to hearken to the words which the Lord had sent. And the final result was unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayers in verse 14. We have a grieved God, scattered hopes, bondage, and desolation. But I scattered them with the whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant and desolate. The final results of an unanswered prayer. Friends, what we need to do is to worship God from our heart. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. When you stop and think about this, friends, nothing is so hard, so unmalleable, so inflexible as the heart of a presumptuous sinner. It's like we were talking about this morning. Someone, we have God's word, we have his law, and it would be just like someone, a policeman, posting a law out on the street, and we arrogantly read that sign, and then we break that law. Those whose hearts are hard, they can just thank themselves for their hearts being hard. It was a just God that gave them over to a reprobate sense, to the hardness and impenitence of their own hearts. I want to read in Romans chapter 1, because sometimes people will say, I wish God would just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And friends, whenever God leaves us alone, it's not good. It's always a downward spiral. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power in the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. You see, they knew him, they didn't glorify him. They made their hearts hard by not obeying him, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Did God work some miracle on them for this? No, it was their own doing. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. This is the second time Paul says he gave them up. He gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Notice in verse 28, the third time he's going to say God gave them up. And even as they did not like God to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve to those who practice them. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another to condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? When you read that list of sins, we say those are terrible things, and they are. How did that happen? How did they get there? These were people that knew God. God gave them up. He let them do what they wanted to do. Just like back in the time of Zechariah, they were just going through the form. They were going through the outward motions. People see me come to services. They see me carry a Bible. They see me take the Lord's Supper. I'm okay. Friends, when we do not obey God from the heart, we are hardening our heart. And when our heart gets hard, it's easier to go deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. So back to James. James has the remedy of how to correct that. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Friends, we learn from Zechariah chapter 7 that the people, they made their hearts like flint. We can do the same thing today. We don't want our hearts to become hardened. We want our hearts to be tender, where God's word can reach us. We sing the song of "Do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, O, tonight. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, O, then be wise. Be saved, O, tonight. Our Lord in pity lingers still, and wilt thou thus his love requite? Renounce at once thy stubborn will. Be saved, O, tonight." Our stubborn will, our hard heart. Sure, I'll come and I'll do this and I'll do that, but I'm not going to have my heart in it. Friends, we can't be like that. Our blessed Lord refused none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, O, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Friend, is your heart like flint? Friends, if it is, we need to look at God's word. We need to examine our lives. We need to look at where we stand in relation to God, where our sin, he has turned his back on us. We are not in favor with God. If our heart is like flint, we need to work at softening it. We need to realize that without the mercy and compassion of God, we are without hope. We're doomed. We need to let God's word work on our hearts. And then we need to be like those that we can read about in Acts chapter 2, when it says, "And they were cut to their heart." And they were cut to their heart. Was that a miracle? No. Again, that's the power of the word. The power of the word that can discern our thoughts and our intentions and separate the minutest things in our life. Friends, if your heart is not right, make it right. Make it right tonight. And if we can be of assistance to anyone, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.